David had some things to learn before he could become the king. He's already been anointed as the king. Saul has already been rejected as the king, but it's going to take 15 years, possibly, at least 15 years. And so the question might be, why did God wait 15 years? I think David needed to learn some things. One of those things is vengeance. See, if you're the king of Israel, you don't get vengeance. The king of Israel represents the God of Israel. What does God say? Vengeance belongs to the Lord, not to the king. David has to learn that. Saul's the king. David's been anointed, but not placed in position. The last time David was faithful to trust God in the battle and he killed Goliath, Saul kept David with him. Look at chapter 18 of 1 Samuel. Look at verse 5. Saul has now said, David, you're going to be my armor bearer. You're going to be my helper. I'm so glad you killed Goliath. It saved me from having to fight him. This is just wonderful. You can come work for me. And so here's David, a young boy, is now following the king around. And Saul says, David, you can be a warrior. You can be a fighter. Verse 5, so David went out wherever Saul sent him and prospered. And Saul set him over the men of war. David became like a general. And it was pleasing in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Everybody started saying, this David guy is great. I mean, he's young, but he's great. He's amazing. Now, what is David doing? He's coming under the authority of Saul. Now, if you said to David, David, I thought you were supposed to be king. What if you went to David and said, hey, David, I thought you were supposed to be the king. What would David say? I am. Hadn't you already been anointed as king by Samuel? Uh-huh, yeah. Why aren't you king? I guess it's not time. Saul's still king. I'm working for Saul. Problems begin. Look at verse 6. Now, it happened as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistine, that women were all out in the cities of Israel, and they were singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines and joy and with musical instruments. They're coming back from war. Everybody's happy. Women are out dancing and singing. The women sang as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David has his 10,000s? Whoa. Saul killed 850, and David killed 1,600. Saul killed thousands. David killed 10,000s. Saul goes, what did they say? Wait a minute. What did they say? Did I hear somebody say that David killed more than me? Now, wait a minute. I'm the king here. I'm the king here. He works for me. You know what I mean? Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him. And he said, they've ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they've ascribed thousands. Now, what more can he have but what? The kingdom. He already knows he's been rejected. He's already been rejected. But he thinks, you know, God doesn't always do what he says. Right? Don't you live if sometimes God doesn't do what he says? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that should you also what? But don't you do things and hope that there's not going to be any reaping? All right? There'll be a crop failure? Don't you think that sometimes God doesn't do what he says? That's what Saul's saying. Saul's been removed as king. But he's saying, I'm the king. What more could this boy want than the kingdom? So Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day forward. Wow. Saul gets jealous. He gets angry. He's displeased. So Saul plans to do, it comes out that he does three things. I want you to see what they are. He's going to kill David. Then he's going to lie to David. Then he's going to try to kill David. Now, obviously, when you get to number three, number one didn't work, right? He didn't kill him. He was going to try to kill him. Then he lied to him. Then he's going to try to kill him again. Look at verse 10. Now, it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and he raved in the midst of the house while David was playing the harp with his hand as usual, and a spear was in Saul's hand. Now, I need to stop, because if I went real fast on this verse, you have a number of questions. Am I right? If you read the verse carefully. Maybe you didn't read it carefully, because I could go on and you might never even see what's in that verse. But look what it says. Now, it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul. That's one problem. Number two, and he raved in the midst of the house. What does that mean? Number three, while David was playing the harp with his hand as usual. Let me start with the easy ones first. Saul was having some mental issues. Saul was jealous, angry, had all kind of problems. Sometimes would get so agitated he couldn't function. They found out that when somebody played pretty music, it calmed Saul down. And it just so happened that David not only was a great shepherd and a fighter, but he could play a musical instrument. And so they got David to come and play for Saul. So one day while Saul was playing the harp as usual, and Saul raved in the midst of the household, he's crazy. He's going through the house, he's screaming, he's going through the palace, he's making noise. They're saying, play, 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 calm him down, calm him down. But here's the deal. The verse says it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God. Does God have evil spirits? Let me ask you this. Who controls all things? God does. Even the demons? Yeah. Can any demon do anything it wants to do? Do you remember the book of Job where Satan comes before God and says, yeah, look at old Job. Boy, I tell you what, he would curse you to your face if you took stuff away from him, and God said, okay, I'll allow you to do that. See, no, nothing happens except through the allowance of God. And I think God allowed a demonic spirit to come upon Saul. And he's mentally ill. He's raving in the midst of the house, and David was playing. And look at the end of the verse, and a spear was in Saul's hand. When a guy is going through the house, pretty much upset, you don't want them to have a spear, okay? I mean, think about it. Think about it. So here he is, and they're saying, play, play, play. So David's playing. Saul is going, I tell you, I'm just really upset about a lot of things, and I'm just really messed up here. I'm just really messed up. Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, I will pin David to the wall. Why does he want to pin David to the wall? Why? He's jealous of David. See, people have already said, you killed your thousands, he killed his 10,000s. He's already thought, wait a minute, this guy wants the kingdom. This guy wants the kingdom. I'm the king. He's not really the king, is he? What did God already say to him? I have rejected you from being king because you rejected me. You didn't do what I told you to do. You have not been obedient. You are not a man after what? God's own heart. Because a man after God's own heart does what? Does the will of the Father. And Saul's not that. So God's already rejected him. Saul's upset. Saul's going, and he hurls the spear, for he thought, I'm going to kill David. I'm going to pin him to the wall. I'm going to throw that spear. It's going to go right through him and stick him to the wall. But David escaped from his presence twice. It doesn't give us a lot of details, but when it says escape from his presence twice, what do you think that means? More than one spear? More than one throw? Possibly. So the first thing that Saul tries to do is kill David. Now, let me ask you something. What? How do you feel about a person who's trying to kill you? Right? Huh? You'd like to, you say, listen, it's probably either me or him. So what I'm going to have to do is hide somewhere, jump out and kill him. You might think that. You know, this guy's trying to kill me. I don't know what to do. First of all, I'm going to run. Okay? But look at the second thing. Huh? Okay, let's see if David does that. Because that's what you said. You said David is such a great man at age 14, 15, that he says, even though that guy's trying to kill me, I know I'm supposed to be the king. And so I'm just going to have to trust God, even though this guy's trying to kill me, because I'm not going to try to get him back.
But God gives him enough sense to move.
To run for your life, yeah, run for your life. Well, or either he threw one and he missed and he threw again and missed. Who knows? But, huh? Maybe he chased him down the hall. David goes, where is a room to get out of here? You know, where did I get out? There may have been. We know there's going to be another one. Kill, lie, kill. There's another one coming. What about this lion thing? Look at verse 17. Saul said to David, oh, I really wasn't trying to kill you. Let me tell you what I want. Here's my older daughter. Her name's Moreb. I'd like to give her to you as a wife. Only be a valiant man for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul thought, my hand shall be not be against him, but will let one of the Philistines be against him. You see what he's doing? Saul says, I got a plan. I've missed twice. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer him my daughter to be married to him, but he's got to be a valiant soldier. So what I'm going to tell him to do is go out and fight the Philistines. My plan is the Philistines will kill him. Instead of me killing him, they'll kill him. David said to Saul, who am I? What is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be the king's son-in-law? David's basically saying, gosh, I'm not worthy of that. I'm not worthy of being your son-in-law. You're the king of Israel. See how David thinks? If you said to David, who's the king of Israel? David would say, Saul is. But David, you're not the king of Israel. Not now. It's not time. Apparently it's not time. If God wanted me to be king, I'd be king. So it came about at that time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David. Uh-oh. She was given to somebody else. She was given to Adriel. She was given away. He comes back after fighting and says, you know, I'm pretty much ready to get married, so I'm sorry I gave her to somebody else. Okay, when people lie to you, how do you feel? When people go back on their word, when people tell you they're going to do something and they don't do it, how do you feel? See, you're mad. You're saying, this is not right. We got one more thing. And I don't think we'll finish it all today, but I want you to see this. Go to 1 Samuel 19. Look at verse 10. Basically, verse 8 says there was a war again, and David went out and fought the Philistines. And verse 9, there was an evil spirit from the Lord on Saul. He was sitting in the house with a spear. David was playing with the harp. You know what you might want to say? David, you've been through this before, right? And Saul, we know that Saul has mental illness. He's crazy. And he's got a spear in his hand. You're playing the harp. Do you remember what happened the last time you were playing the harp? And he was crazy and had a spear in his hand. Watch what happens. Verse 10, Saul tried to pin David to the wall with the spear. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, so he struck the spear in the wall, and David fled and escaped the night. Two times Saul tried to kill David. He lied. He broke the promises. What had David done wrong? Why would Saul choose to kill him? What had David done wrong? What had David done wrong? Nothing. Sometimes people do you wrong. Did you do anything to them to make them do you wrong? No. Sometimes people just do you wrong. Sometimes you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sometimes somebody just takes advantage of you. Sometimes somebody just lies. Sometimes you have never done anything and you go, wait a minute, why did this happen? I didn't do anything. What's David's response to this? Is David going to say, well, listen, I am the king. He's not really the king. I'm going to get two or three guys with me. We're going to hide in the hall. And one of these days when he walks by, we're going to jump on him and kill him. And then I'm going to become the king. Chapter 20, verse 1. David fled from Naioth into Ramah and came and said to Jonathan, this is Saul's son. This is Jonathan. This is David's best friend. What have I done? What is my iniquity? What is my sin before your father that he's seeking my life? What kind of question is David asking? Why is he after me? What have I ever done to him? What's the answer? He's jealous, but he's never done anything. Sometimes in your life, people will hurt you, and you could say, what did I ever do to you to get this? And what's the answer? Nothing. Nothing. Now, I want to get this one. I know we're just about out of time, but I want to get this one. I want you to turn to chapter 24. This is one of my favorite stories. We'll stop here. We'll take up here next week, and then I'll have the other handout as well. David is now on the run. David's got some men with him. They're called David's Mighty Men. So he's got some mighty men. Actually, they were a bunch of troublemakers. They were people who had been kicked out of places, and they were kind of scoundrels and stuff. And David kind of went out and got in the woods and said, hey, I'm gonna have to fend on my own. And two or three guys said, hey, we'll join with you. And we got some other guys over there. They kind of got in trouble. But, you know, okay, let's all get together. And before you know it, you got these bunch of people with David who are sort of his soldiers, and they're called David's mighty men. But background-wise, they got in trouble. They're just kind of a bunch of guys that, you know, kind of always get themselves in trouble and they're all together, you know. And so they're running from Saul. And Saul's chasing them down. Every time Saul finds out where David is, so he'll say, where is David hiding? They'll say, he's over there in that area. And so Saul sends his army to go get him. So in this particular instance, Saul is trying to find David. Look at chapter 24. Now, when Saul had returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, saying, behold, David's in the wilderness of En-Gedi. I have to tell you, when I went to Israel, I ate spaghetti at En-Gedi. I just wanted you to know that. It is true. En-Gedi is near the Dead Sea. It's really a rocky area. It's got all kind of caves. There are all kind of goats and everything there. And it's kind of a really rugged place. If you're in En-Gedi and you come out of the area of En-Gedi, you can look and see the Dead Sea. No, I mean, it's just a rough area and all kind of caves. In fact, this is where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, this area. And so David's in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the rocks of the wild goats. There was an area of En-Gedi called the rocks of the wild goats. Big rocky area, all kind of caves, cliffs, everything. He came to the sheepfolds on the way where there was a cave. Now Saul stops and Saul went into what? What's he doing? He's going in to use the bathroom. And let me tell you, he's going in to do number two, not number one. Okay? I just want you to know this. He says to the men, I'll be back in just a little bit. And he goes into a cave to use the bathroom. Notice, he came into the sheepfolds. On the way, there was a cave, and Saul went into the cave to relieve himself. Now, David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of the cave. Now, David has been running from Saul. David and his men are all hidden up in the cave. And they look, and they see somebody coming into the cave. Now, it's so dark. Yeah, he can't see who's in the cave. Saul says, I'm going in the cave to use the bathroom. David and his men are in there. And they see Saul come in. And they go, Saul's about to use the bathroom. Look what he's doing. He's using the bathroom. Verse 4. The men of David said to him, behold, this is the day which the Lord has said to you. Behold, I'm about to give your enemy into your hand. You shall do to him as it seems good to you. You can kill him. This is your day. Because what's he doing? He's not even thinking right now. You know what he's done? He's taken his spear and he's taken his jacket part off and he's going to use the bathroom. So what does David do? David arose, the end of verse 4, and cut the edge of Saul's robe secretly. He snuck up to where David's using the bathroom. There's Saul's robe. And he takes his knife and he cuts the corner of his robe and left with it. It came out afterwards that David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe. Wait a minute, David. You worried about this guy's robe? And he's tried to kill you. He's lied to you. He's chasing you down. He'll do everything he can to get you. He's jealous of you. You're supposed to be the king. He's not supposed to be the king. And now you feel bad because you cut off his robe? Why? Notice the next verse. He said to his men, far be it from me, because of the Lord, that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, since he is the Lord's anointed. You know what David's saying? God has placed Saul as king. I have to honor that. As long as he is king, I will honor him. And I didn't honor him. I cut off his coat. I cut off the edge while he's using the bathroom. That's an embarrassing thing. That I did something that would be embarrassing to Saul. And as much as possible, what am I supposed to do? Live at peace with all people and don't ever return evil for evil, return evil with good. And I've done everything wrong that I should. I just shouldn't have done it. So look at verse 8. Afterwards, David arose, went out of the cave, and Saul got through, put his robe back on, came back outside with his men. They said, everything come out okay? He said, everything was fine. Everything's fine. And David comes out of the cave. Notice, afterwards David rose, came out of the cave, and called after Saul, saying, my lord the king. When Saul looked behind him, David bowed his face to the ground. He went, hey, Saul. Saul turns around. David goes. David said to him, why do you want to kill me? Why do you think I'm trying to harm you? Look at verse 10. Behold, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord had given you into my hand in the cave. Some said to kill you, but my eye had pity on you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Now, my father, see indeed the edge of your robe in my hand. I cut off the edge of your robe and I didn't kill you. So David holds up that piece of cloth and says, see? And Saul goes, because see, he could have said, you're lying. You wasn't in that cave. You couldn't have got me. And David says, I was right there. I got your coat. I cut it off. Why didn't David kill him? Why didn't David kill him when he had the chance? Vengeance belongs to the Lord. You're going to have an opportunity sometime in your life that somebody's going to have done you wrong, and you're going to have an opportunity to get them back. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's sin, and it puts you on their level. Vengeance belongs to who? As I live, says the Lord, vengeance belongs to the Lord. So therefore, do not overcome evil with evil. Overcome evil with good. That's the hardest lesson we're going to ever have, I think. Because how do you feel when they do you wrong? You're going to get them back. What if you actually have the opportunity to get them back? What you going to do? What am I going to do? What if each one of us room going to do when the day comes? Return evil with what? Good. That's going to be hard. There's more. We're going to see that there's another chance that David gets to kill Saul. And we'll see what he does. We'll see that next time. And then we'll continue on, because I'll get the other hand out. We're going to see this other guy. His name is Nabal. Now, let me throw applications up for a second, because we're going to talk about this next time. But how do we practically deal with these kind of situations? You got to trust God. Why? A, what do we do? Is there a no, there's number one, trust God. Two, forgive the other person. Wow. And then the third thing. God. No, you're supposed to be at the applications. I'm sorry. Yeah, flip over to applications. Yeah. Forgive them. What's B? Leave the vengeance to God. What's C? Respond with good. If you do that, you will live a supernatural life in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is not going to be easy, right? Whose power is it through you? It's God's, not us. We live in our power, we won't do it. We live in God's power, we can do it. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for the life of David. Lord, when we see what he did, when he had the chance to kill Saul, when Saul's been after him, wanted to kill him once, tried to kill him twice, lied to him, goes after him. David had done nothing wrong. And yet, Lord, we see that David had an opportunity to get him back. But, Lord, we remember that vengeance belongs to you. Lord, may we live a supernatural life. May we forgive those who hurt us. May we leave the vengeance to you, because you're going to take care of it. We don't have to take care of it. You're going to take care of it. And may we respond with good. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.